Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.
Welcome to the No Spin News Weekend Edition.
All right. I didn't even want to run a soundbite from Biden today. That's how meaningless it is, but I'm going to do it anyway. Go.
The brutality of Hamas, these bloodthirstiness brings to mind the worst rampages of ISIS. This is terrorism. But sadly, for the Jewish people, it's not new. This attack has brought to the surface painful memories and the scars left by a millennia of anti-Semitism and genocide of the Jewish people. So in this moment, we must be crystal clear. We stand with Israel. We stand with Israel. And we will make sure Israel has what it needs to take care of its citizens, defend itself, and respond to this attack. There's no justification for terrorism. There's no excuse.
Okay. Joining us now, probably the best guest I could have gotten today, and it was luck because we booked them last week before this happened. Geraldo Rivera has been to Israel and the surrounding areas scores of times, more than me. He's half Jewish, Rivera is. He's half Puerto Rican, half Jewish. Very interesting combo. Here he is, joining us from Cleveland.
Hey, Bill.
So, where am I going wrong, Geraldo? What did I say that you didn't agree with?
I didn't find disagreement with anything you said, Bill. I think maybe you could have spent a little more time on the barbarity of the crime inflicted on Israel, what provoked this current round of violence, which you obviously correctly point out has been going on for 2,000 years, certainly since the creation of Israel in 1948. But what happened in this music festival and the surrounding areas in Israel at the end of the High Holy Days, 50 years almost to the day from the Yom Kippur War of 1973, which was my first taste of war in Israel. I covered the 1973 Yom Kippur War and almost everything in between. Been to Gaza many times. There's a discussion to be had about Israel's militaristic government and all the other points you made. But right now, what I focus on are babies being mutilated and women being raped and, people being beheaded, hostages taken. I listened with interest to your analysis of the Wall Street Journal investigation that claims that Iran helped plan this. But if so, they helped plan one of the most hideous mass murders, the worst slaughter of Jews since the Holocaust. That has to be given the kind of attention. You know, when is that ever justified?
Okay, let me stop you. Nobody's justifying, nobody can, except the loons, the people that I said are not even worth speaking with. But the network news and the cable news have covered the atrocities. Newspapers, front page. Everybody knows what this is. But you're not surprised that Iran would foster this, Geraldo? You're not surprised? I know you're not.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what I don't know. And I don't know exactly how Iran, this rogue Shiite nation with nuclear aspirations and now the principal troublemaker around the world. I don't know what specific role, how could I? But I do know that Mossad, an intelligence agency I have deep experience with, these agents in Mossad could tell me, could pinpoint for me during, for instance, the Lebanon War, 1981, 82, 83, Mossad led me to the right guy, the right block in Beirut, and how this vaunted intelligence agency could miss the muster of a thousand.
It's shocking. And the CIA as well, because they're there in force. That has to be explained. Now, I want to advance the story a little bit. So you have the far left progressive movement in the United States, anti-Israel. Now, I'm not going to say they're anti-Semitic personally, but they're anti-Israel. And they always have been. It's a hallmark of this progressive movement. Many American Jews are very liberal, extremely so. Jeffrey Katzenberg is the spear point behind Biden's reelection. How do you process that? Does that offend you that the progressive movement is so anti-Israel?
I think that it's very important to note there are kind of generational aspects to this. But right now on college campuses all across this country, your analysis is spot on. There is an anti-Israel movement that is very troubling. It's somewhat understandable, I believe, given the history of the last 10, 20 years. It is very troubling. Sometimes anti-Semitism and anti-Israel or anti-Zionism get mushed up, get mixed up. People are sometimes expressing hatred of Netanyahu's government in Israel, and they're not anti-Semitic. Other times, anti-Semitism is the motivating. There is anti-Semitism is one of the primal characteristics, it seems to me, of Western man. It is very troubling to me. I think that incidents like what had just happened, you saw in London, I'm sure, the protest, the anti-Israeli protest in London and many other places. You also saw support for Israel. So what I come down is I say, you can be anti-Zionist, you can be anti-Netanyahu, but don't be anti-Semitic. And sometimes
that's a good point. But they don't know they don't know the difference. I mean, these are ignorant people. In London, Arabs outnumber Jews 10 to 1. Arabs have taken over 40% of people who live in London are foreign nationals. And I can tell you, I was in Mayfair on Saturday, which is the most exclusive part, the oldest part of London. The Saudis run it. Saudi embassy is there. All the restaurants are Saudi. They run the whole thing. But the hatred is the last question I have for you. This is never going to end. It's 2,000 years in the making. The Arabs and the Jews, okay? A segment of the Arab population, the militants, want to kill the Jews. They just don't want to expel them. They want to kill them, okay? And the Jews, in response to not only that, but the Holocaust and all the other mass murders they faced throughout history, are ultra defensive and aren't going to give anybody any quarter that they feel are a threat. There's no solution here, but the United States has to back, all right, the people who are most important to us, and that is Israel. Last word.
I agree. I add this, not in disagreement, but to supplement it. The Palestinian people have to have long-term, after this is resolved and the perpetrators of this crime punished, they have to have a future. But because what else are you going to do with 2 million people crammed into an area, just twice the size of Washington, D.C.? 2 million people, it's the most densely populated place on earth. That's Gaza. Then you have the West Bank. We must go back to the U.S. stated position of George W. Bush, going back to George H.W. Bush, a two-state solution living side by side. I'm not an idealist, I am a realist. I know that the road to there is fraught with obstacles, but everyone has to know that that's the American position.
And that would, if that were possible, if that were possible, that'd be a solution. It is not. The militants on the Arab side don't
want it. You're probably right, sadly.
They don't want it. And if you're a Gazan and you speak to that, you're dead. Remember that. All right, Geraldo Rivera, there he is. And we appreciate it, Geraldo. Good to see you.
Thank you.
You're listening to the No Spin News Weekend Edition.
Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus. There's a new book that caught my eye. It's called Crime Inc., How Democrats Employ Mafia and Gangster Tactics to Gain and Hold Power. Okay, the author is Vince Everett Ellison, joins us from Lynchburg, Virginia. Now, the reason your book caught my eye is because I wrote Killing the Mob. And I know the tactics that organized crime uses. So when I saw this, I go, all right, let's see what he's got. Give me your most vivid example of how the Democratic Party uses mafia techniques.
Thank you for having me, Bill. And one of the, one of the best examples is that the mob makes money doing hits. They kill people for a living and they make money from it. Well, the Democratic Party does the same thing. They call theirs Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood kills babies. They get money and then they give campaign contributions to the Democrat Party. Also, the mafia controls the unions. They use it for laundering money. They use it for kickbacks. The Democrats do the same thing. The Democrats give money to the teachers' unions. The teachers' unions then would give to the teachers. Teachers give to the unions, and the unions give campaign contributions back to the Democratic Party. It's just classic money laundering. And then also the cartels do trafficking. They traffic sex trafficking. They traffic fentanyl. And the Democratic Party, each one of those cartels have a K Street lawyer that gives contributions to the Democratic Party, and they leave the border open. And the fentanyl and the sex trafficking and the human trafficking comes across the border, and they're together hand in glove. That's just one of the few examples of how the Democratic Party and the mob use the same tactics.
Let me debrief you on all three of those. The first one is Planned Parenthood. You have to understand that the donations Planned Parenthood get are voluntary from Americans who believe in abortion.
The Democratic Party funds Planned Parenthood with federal money. Millions of dollars. They threaten to shut down the government. They threaten to shut down the government if the Republicans took it out of the budget.
But none of the money that comes from the federal government to Planned Parenthood can go for abortions. So that's the Hyde Amendment.
It's fungible, Bill. It's fungible. They take the money that they would use to pay the light bill, and they use it for abortion.
But I think your union thing is better than the Planned Parenthood thing.
No, because the Planned Parenthood thing is right on, because they will not stop abortion, because the Planned Parenthood also gives them campaign contributions. 98% of all of the campaign contributions from Planned Parenthood goes to the Democrat Party.
Okay.
And the Democrat Party also gives them hundreds of millions of dollars in federal money for their abortion clinics. There it is, money laundering to kill babies.
I don't know about money laundering. It's a quid pro quo. Money flows back and forth, but it has to be. It has to be legal in the way it's given.
It is legal because the Democratic Party controls the politics. They won't let it become illegal.
Well, Trump had 4 years where he could have written executive orders to stop some of this, and he didn't.
But they filibustered it in the Senate. Remember? Schumer filibustered in the Senate, and they were going to shut down the government, shut it down, because they wanted to take out $500 million in Planned Parenthood funding. They were going to shut down the whole government to protect that funding.
Well, the Republican Party should have called them bluff. That's what should have happened.
They filibustered. They said we won't
pass it. I understand what they did, Everett, but you, Vince, but you have to fight them right there. Now let's go to the cartels. You can't fight that's a another subject.
You have to bust it with 60 votes. Right. If you only have 60 votes, you can't bust it. They didn't have 60 votes.
But they couldn't shut down the government, all right, unless there was a vote in the House that overrode the filibuster in the Senate, and it didn't happen. So let's go to Mexico.
What they would have done, they would have shut the whole government down and allowed everybody else to just go under. So what they did, he just allowed it. But again, the Democrats were the ones that were going to shut the whole government down.
I don't know whether they would or wouldn't. But for every tactic, there is another tactic. And that's what we're talking about. The Republicans are not as organized as the Democrats.
I agree with you completely on that. But the Democrats were the ones that wanted the money for Planned Parenthood, period. They were the ones that pressed it. They were the ones that wanted to kill babies up to the ninth month.
We only have a finite time for the interview. Let's go to the cartels. So it is true. Democratic Party supports open borders and Biden does what the progressive left wants. That enriches the drug and people smugglers or cartels in Mexico. Okay. Yes. It doesn't enrich, as far as I can see, the Democratic Party. It creates more social problems in America where both.
That's what the Democratic Party wants, Bill. The more poor people they have, the more crime they have, the more power they have in the inner cities. Look at Chicago. Look at Detroit. Look at Baltimore. They are bastions of crime, and the Democrat Party controls them. This is an evil institution. They are a criminal organization. They're controlled by a cabal of murderers, psychopaths, liars, and anti-Christian bigots. Wherever they go, you have poverty, crime, death. You have it. They love this. A Democrat Party heaven is an American hell. That's why wherever you find this type of poverty, this is where they excel. They want it, and they want to spread it. Because
but the
more
cartels,
people have in these situations, the more powerful they are.
There's no money going in. The cartels keep their money. Now, I'm going to guess that your parents, and I don't know, were Democrats. Am I right?
They were, but they're not.
Let's start. That's right. So they were Democrats at one time. Because
me too.
Almost 90% of African Americans were Democrats at one time. My family was Democrat because they came from Ireland, Brooklyn, signed right up to the Democratic Party. All right. What has happened, in your opinion, to make a once viable political party, in your opinion, go so far left and take a whole president and administration with them? What has happened? Now, the Democratic Party is run by progressives, far left operation, no moderates at all. What happened?
Right. Well, the civil rights movement with Martin Luther King Jr. brought in a lot of communists, a lot of Marxists into the movement, a lot of hippies, dope heads, atheists. After the civil rights movement, they all jumped into the Democratic Party. If you recall, in 1968, they tried to take it over in Chicago. Mayor Daley and the hardheads and the police ran them out. Well, they said, the whole world is watching. Saul Alinsky said, you got three choices. You can either go back and cry, you can either start throwing bombs, or you can go back, organize, and then come back in 4 years and be the delegates. In 1972, they came back in Miami, and they took over. They ran Mayor Daley out this time. And this is when they brought abortion, atheism, and all this foolishness into the Democratic Party. This is when the Southern white conservatives left it. They didn't leave the Democratic Party because of the civil rights movement. They left it because the Democrats bought in atheists, they bought in welfare, they bought in government control. And the smartest thing that white conservatives ever did was leave the Democratic Party. Because if they didn't do it, they would be just like black Americans now at the bottom of every socioeconomic statistic in America. So
but
that's
what
happened.
There were restraints.
The Marxists took over and then they destroyed it.
All right. There were restraints. Tip O'Neill, Daniel Patrick Moynihan. There were big.
They're all dead now.
Okay.
They
so
waited.
There were
Nancy Pelosi, Jim Clyburn, Joe Biden.
Yeah, they're all far left people.
They were all part of that group, and they held that party after the 90s for about 30 years, and they turned it into a leftist party. They sat there and waited for Barack Obama, and when he came in, they slapped it, and it was in, and now it's there.
All right. Very provocative, Vince, the author of Crime, Inc., How Democrats Employ Mafia.
VinceEEllison.com. Three E's in the middle. VinceEEllison.com. You can get my books. You can look at my documentary, all of it.
Very good, Vince. Thanks for helping us out.
This is the No Spin News Weekend Edition.
I don't have a beef right now that I'm going to bring to you about the Biden administration. I am going to say that I believe Iran is behind this, and we went over it yesterday. Hamas has no capacity to make arms or do anything like that. No capacity whatsoever. They have to be given the rockets and the lethal weapons to kill the Jews. If Russia or China, both of whom would do it, were doing that, we would know. But it's much harder to get intel out of Iran than it is out of Russia or China. Okay, so I want another perspective on this from another point of view. I asked Bernie Goldberg to step up. He joins us from North Carolina. Obviously, you know that Mr. Goldberg is a Jewish American, and he's a purveyor of a very, very good website called BernardGoldberg.com. We regularly visit that website. And he can analyze this from a geopolitical point of view because he's been, I don't know, what do you want, 85 Emmys or something? You've been all over the world. You know what you're doing. And then from a media standpoint as well. So let's start with the geopolitics. You yourself, as a Jewish American, how do you feel today?
Well, this wasn't a 9/11. This was, as Tony Blinken said, 10 9/11s. If you compare the Jewish population to the U.S. population, this would have been equivalent of 40,000 Americans killed in one day. We're going to start to hear from liberals, not the crazy left, not the radical left. They don't, you, as you correctly said, Bill, they never liked Israel. I'm talking about, you will start to hear from the mainstream liberals that this was, if Israel goes into Gaza and civilians are killed, as they will be, that Israel is acting disproportionately. You'll hear that word, disproportionately. You'll even hear more about how Israel is violating international law. What is a proportional response to killing the equivalent of 40,000 people if it were in the United States? What, is there any? Yeah, Israel should act disproportionately. And I hope we would act disproportionately if 40,000 Americans were killed in one day. So, and let me make one other point before we move on. Bernie Sanders, you say, is Jewish. Yeah, he was born Jewish. But there are progressive Jewish people for whom Judaism is not their religion. Liberalism is their religion. Progressivism is their religion. Bernie Sanders is one of those people. And the Harvard idiots, as you mentioned, they are only proof that you can go to Harvard and still be a dummy, because that's what they are.
Yeah, they don't know what they're talking about over there. In the days forward, I always want to advance the story. You're going to have Israel going in, and you're going to see story after story after story about the suffering of the Palestinian people in Gaza.
Exactly.
Because that's going to happen. You're going to see it every day, every way. I remember back in 9/11 that Guantanamo Bay was a huge story. Remember that? And we had the left bleeding hearts over Guantanamo Bay. I would have done exactly the same thing as Bush did. I would have put them right in Guantanamo Bay. Would I have waterboarded them? Probably not. But I would have deprived them of a lot of things so that they would talk. And that whole CIA campaign was fairly successful. And again, I harken back to killing the killers. We got them. We got Al-Qaeda, and later we got ISIS, and we dismantled them. You cannot do that by having the UN Humanitarian Commission come in. All right? It's not happening. So I know what Israel is going to do, and I support it because that's the only thing they can do at this point in history. How do you see that?
I think you're absolutely right, and that's going forward. That's going to be the issue. We are going to, civilians are going to be killed. Children, innocent civilian children in Palestine, in Gaza, are going to be killed. And that's how Hamas wants it.
Right.
They know the power of images. They know the power, the public relations power of parading a dead seven-year-old girl, let's say, through Gaza City. And the cameras will be on it. And that's when the near universal support for Israel, again, forget about the radical left, the near universal support, including liberal support for Israel, That's when it's going to begin to shatter. That's when you're going to begin to hear words, as I said before, about Israel's overreacting. They don't need to do this.
Or bolstering the Harvard students that it's a fascist nation. So let's segue from that, because everybody knows what is likely to happen in the future about the media. So in the beginning of all this, MSNBC was the pro-Palestinian network, okay? They paraded on a bunch of people that said, oh, Israel is bad and Palestinians are, you know, blah, 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 blah. You saw it. And the JDL, Jewish Defense League, went after them. NBC, Comcast, huge corporation. JDL went after them, warned them. And then it stopped. Comcast, NBC stopped it, correct?
Yeah, except for the fact that it's the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, went after Comcast.
I think the JDL did too. I saw a letter the JDL wrote. All right, but let's just say the Jewish organizations.
Right. They had
went after them.
They had private meetings with the big wigs at MSNBC, as I understand it. And in the flash of the blink of an eye, NBC came around. Now, and I've watched it recently. They're doing okay. You know, here's the thing. I wrote a book years ago called Bias, about liberal bias in the media. And I hope, I know I got some credibility with you, Bill, and I hope I earned some credibility with the people in your audience. Because now I'm going to say that by and large, even the liberal media is getting this story right. There's a pro-Israeli slant to the stories, as
well,
it should.
Well, they have to, though. They have to, because as I said, almost 70% of Americans are siding with Israel now.
Right,
they
right.
have to. You sign your death warrant if you're not going to basically be fair in your analysis of this. But the point I wanted to make is that all of these networks are directed by corporations. They are told what to do and say.
Right.
We saw that with Fox News on the lawsuit that they lost. Every single one of them. Gone are the days when Bernie Goldberg and Bill O'Reilly, both at CBS News at the same time, you were much more successful than I was. Okay, but gone are the days when you have those kinds of people employed by the corporate media. It's over.
No, you're right. The marching orders come down from the top.
Yep.
And you have a choice. Follow the marching orders or
lose. Or you're done. You're out.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, and that is true. All right.
You made an interesting point, Bill, about 70% of the people support Israel, therefore the media is going to support it. Very interesting, very accurate point. My question is, what happens when that 70% goes down to 50% or 40% because of the images that we're going to see put out by Hamas and the international media of, again, children being paraded through Gaza City who are dead? What happens when that support comes down? Will the news coverage of those events start to slant against Israel? I think that's a distinct possibility.
At MSNBC, it is. I don't think CNN, and I know Fox wouldn't do it. Media question, and then we'll get into your new column that I want everybody to read on BernardGoldberg.com. So Biden's going to sit for a 60-minute interview, probably doing it now, latest tomorrow morning, and he doesn't like to get up early, about this whole thing. Now, with a tough interviewer like you or me, Biden would be in some danger because of his history and the way he handled Afghanistan, a neighbor to Iran, the prisoner swap thing. He'd be in some jeopardy. I'm not sure that 60 Minutes is going to bring it on Joe Biden. And again, I'm guessing. What do you think?
I think you may be onto something, is what I think.
So you don't think it's going to be a tough interview?
I mean, I don't know. I want to be fair. I don't know.
Okay, because I remember Steve Croft with Barack Obama.
Right, right.
He was Obama's go-to guy. And
exactly.
Croft was light on him. He was light on him.
No question. Let's put it this way. And I'm not trying to flatter you, Bill, because personally, you know, I wouldn't do that. I don't think it would be the same interview if you did it. Let's put it that way.
No, that's for sure. Okay, so you write a column and say Biden is so bad in his job. It's essentially, I'm just describing a column, that this is going to have huge ramifications for the entire Democratic Party. Just explain your point of view there for us.
Yeah, it starts out with the idea that James Carville famously said, it's the economy, stupid. Well, he didn't say it's only the economy, stupid. It's always the economy, but it's always something else. And in this case, the something else, I think, has great potential for bringing down Biden or whoever the Democratic nominee is. The something else is on the southern border. That alone could bring down Joe Biden. That alone is such a mess that Biden could be finished because of it. There's also crime, which is not Joe Biden's fault. He's not a mayor, but Democratic progressive DAs are not prosecuting these people. To a lesser extent, and this never shows up in the polls, there's this crazy gender thing. One person is never a they, no matter what the progressive activists tell us. When you see a transgender woman swimmer who was mediocre at best when he was a man, now he's beating all these young women, you just know that's wrong. So I ended the column by saying, it's not only the economy, stupid. This time around, it's about Joe Biden and where the country has gone since he became president, stupid. And I think that's going to be the big, big issue for Democrats. Where has the country gone since Joe Biden became president?
And well, it's gone, you know, everybody knows it is gone down and is far weaker. But here's the problem, and this is a problem for you, Bernie Goldberg. If the election were held tomorrow, it would be Trump versus Biden, and you don't like Trump. And there's tens of millions of Americans who agree absolutely with you. You think he's out of control, he's undisciplined, he's whatever it may be, all right? So if you do have a Trump who ran his administration fairly well on a case-by-case policy basis against the second worst president in our history, Joe Biden, but you hate Trump for what he not stands for, but the way he behaves, what do you do? Do you vote for RFK?
No. I don't hate Trump. Look, first of all, I don't think he acts the way a United States president should behave. That's what I think. Okay. So I've never argued against his policies. But I think the idea that it has to be Trump versus Biden, first of all, on the Republican side, there are several other candidates.
They're not going to do it, Bernie. They're not going to do it.
Hold on. I am not saying they're going to win, but you asked me, what do you do? Those were your words. What do? You could vote for Nikki Haley. You could vote for Ron DeSantis.
Yeah,
you could,
the primaries, but it's not going to happen. Trump will win the nomination unless, because Trump is Trump, you never know what's going to happen on Monday.
By the way, I think there's a greater chance that Trump will be the nominee than Joe Biden will be the nominee on the other side.
Well, we're simpatico. So you go to BernardGoldberg.com, honest website, just like BillO'Reilly.com. We're in simpatico there. And we appreciate it, Bernie. Thank you very much. I thought this was a very good segment. So thank you very much for coming on.
Here's a gem from the No Spin News Vault.
But anyway, the House Intel Committee, chaired by our pal Adam Schiff, who may be an alien. He might. If you look at the movie Invasion of the Body Snatchers, I think Schiff was, you know. Anyway, he's holding hearings on counterterrorism, counterintelligence, counterproliferation, UFOs. Okay, that's going on now. Our tax money at work. And we have a great guest. So a guy named Nick Pope, he's a Brit, and he investigated UFOs for the British government. Now lives in San Jose, California, and he comes to us via Zoom, which I think is an alien thing that was invented up space, but I don't know. All right, so I'm mocking the UFO hearings. Am I wrong? Am I ill-informed, Mr. Pope?
Well, I think we are still having the debate about what exactly UFOs are. And that's the point. For years, the government just said, oh, this is crazy stuff. We don't have a program. Nobody is investigating. And then around 4 years ago, it turned out there was a program. And of course, Congress, whatever they believe, said, hey, what's going on? And that process is going to this day. And what we've seen is the latest development. Look, I don't know what these things are, but we need to find out because they are being seen in close proximity to nuclear-powered aircraft carriers. They're getting pretty close to some of our military jets. Is it China? Is it some sort of weird atmospheric plasma phenomena? Or is it something else? All Congress is saying to the DOD is, let's find out. And that's what happened today.
Okay. So let me get very specific with you because you know a lot more about this than I do. Number one, you know that there's a lot of money to be made in the UFO arena, and you can get attention if you raise UFO and I did this and I do that. So that is a fact, right?
Yes, although okay. I'm not sure
I want to stair step it. But sure. You're a professional. The British government actually paid you to look into some of these claims. What was the most compelling thing that you investigated?
We had a case from 1993 where a huge triangular-shaped craft was seen by multiple military witnesses over two air bases performing extraordinary speeds, maneuvers, and acceleration. And we launched a full investigation and found no conventional explanation that fit the bill. So we were saying, is this some sort of secret prototype aircraft, our drone, maybe our own? Maybe US technology, maybe adversary technology. The good news for people who say, hey, this is a waste of taxpayers' money, everything you need to investigate UFOs is already funded. The military satellites, the radar systems, the intelligence officers who analyze photos and videos, it's all there. All what's been lacking is the will to take a proper look at this because of the ridicule factor. And that's okay. Changing. I'm
but
glad to say it's
not
changing.
Here so much in America. I mean, we got a big industry. People believe there are, District 51, and in New Mexico, they found whatever it may be. But let's get back to the case that you were citing. Video on this case? Did you see it? Was somebody recorded
a
video of it?
This was before the day where everyone had their smartphones.
All right, so
and
no
things.
Video on it. So anecdotal reports. From, I would assume,
evidence.
Well-respected military people in Great Britain, correct?
Correct. And some radar evidence, though the data there were intermittent.
Okay. Now, you know as well as I do that in space, and I write about this in my book, Killing the Killers, they have an amazing array of surveillance drones, attack drones, weaponry. Russia has not nearly what we have, China not nearly, but they have hardware up there too. Doesn't that complicate things? And if there was a true UFO, wouldn't this very sophisticated surveillance that's already up there pick it up?
It should, but sometimes these people use filter programs, and if it doesn't behave like what they're looking for, like a ballistic missile launch, they will just write it off. But I was pleased to hear in this morning's hearings, the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence and Security say that this needs to be joined up with what's going on in NASA, what's going on in the Space Force. And we need a proper integrated look at this.
Okay. Now, last question, and we really appreciate your time. Are you a believer? Do you think that intelligent life exists beyond the universe, and the unintelligent life has come down to surveil Earth or land or whatever? Do you, Nick Pope, believe that?
Life out there, yes. Life coming to visit us, maybe. And let's find out. That's my point, and I think that's what Congress is saying, too.
Okay. But if Congress is in charge, we're never going to find out. And if we do, it's going to be white supremacists that are coming down, or Antifa, if it's a conservative president. One or the other. We're never going to get the story. All right, Mr. Pope, thanks very much. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the No Spin News Weekend Edition. To watch the full episodes of the No Spin News, visit BillO'Reilly.com and sign up to become a premium or concierge member. That's BillO'Reilly.com.
Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.